you to the Shepherd's Call, live on Truth Radio. And now your host, Pastor Buddy Johnson.
Well, praise Yahweh, everybody. This is Pastor Buddy, and you're listening to the Shepherd's Call. Glad to have you aboard tonight. Call a friend and tell them that the Shepherd's Call is on the air, and we will have something in the way of information highway to come to your spirit tonight, because we believe, spirit beings. And by the Spirit, we have the revelations of the deep hidden things from the Holy Ghost. Praise Yahweh tonight. And we're going to get into a very, very, very interesting subject tonight, one that most of the Judeo-Christian church world won't touch with a 10-foot pole. We're going to explore the truths or the errors of reincarnation, whether it's fact or fiction. And we will entitle our message tonight, Reincarnation, Fact or Fiction. We'll bring the preponderance of the evidence for and against, and then let you be the judge at the bottom of the hour whether or not that you have possibly been here on the earth or maybe in another dimension of time and space before that you were ever born. Now, there's one thing right off the starting gate here tonight, and that is we know by the scriptures that our names are written on the Lamb's book from the foundation. Well, if he pre-knew us, and of course the argument goes into, well, God knows everything, and that's possibly true, but here is something to think about. If he knew us before the foundation of the world, then did we pre-exist? That's the $64 question here tonight, and we'd like to hit the jackpot of truth and ring the bell for victory here tonight with the fact that, like I say, most church Judeo-Christian church world will not preach, because that most people, and we use the word reincarnation because of a lack of a better word that your understanding could comprehend, we call it resurrection. That's what the Bible calls it. Living after you die. Now, right off the starting gate here, our Messiah, Yahweh Shua in a flesh body, when he came, he proved the fact that you can live after death, because he died and he rose again. And you say, well, he had a glorified body. Well, that's true. And but if we have what we call a recycled spirit, a spirit that is eternal, the spirit don't die, and the flesh man, ladies and gentlemen, is the one that goes back to the dust. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that the spirit goes back to God who gives it. Now, if he gave us the spirit, and the spirit is used for purposes of reincarnating into the earth to live numerous lives, and we hold this as to us, it's a sacred truth. It may be taboo to you. It may sound as witchcraft because you've been indoctrinated from the bell box to accept or to reject reincarnation right off the bat, that it's some evil thing, that if you believe in reincarnation, you're the devil. Praise Yahweh. And let's examine what the scriptures have got to say about it, irregardless of what you've been taught. Keep an open mind, and then we'll get some facts here. 14th chapter of the book of Job. We're going to start in the 7th verse. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Now, let me ask you a question. If we symbolize man as a tree, is there hope for that tree? Will he sprout again after that he's cut down? Now, we know that death is the ultimate axe that is laid to the root of our physical body. And yet we understand that, as in the 7th chapter of the book of Acts, that Stephen, in the 59th verse, the Bible said when they were stoning him, he called upon God and said, Yahweh, Shua, receive my spirit. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, Here it says in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that the Bible says, here's a very important scripture here, it says that the Spirit goes back to God who gives it, and that the flesh man goes back to the earth. Now, if that's true, let's look at verse 6 in the 12th chapter of Ecclesiastes. O ever the silver cord be loosed. Now, what's that talking about? Well, I believe that there is a cord attachment to the soul or spirit body that is attached to the physical body of man. Now, if this cord is cut or broken or loosed, then and only then will the flesh man return to the dust and return to the earth as it was, because that's from where it was taken. It's a chemical mineral component. Then the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. Now, when the spirit goes back, is there a possibility? Now, if that life lived one time in a flesh body, if that spirit, and here in the 11th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, listen, he that observes the wind shall not sow. Now, what profit would it be for the spirit man to come into this environment if the natural man is not the rewarder of the life that's given? Now, we're all going to stand before Yahweh and give an account for every idle deed done in this physical body. Or is it the spirit body that we must answer to? Well, we know that he's a spirit and that we return to spirit. Notice in the fifth verse, as thou knowest not what is the way of the spirit, nor how the bones do grow in the womb. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most astounding things upon the earth is indeed how that bones, this calcium composition makeup, forms bones and it grows in the womb. It's a great mystery. Or of her that is with child. Even so thou knowest not the works of Yahweh who maketh all. In the morning sow the seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether it shall prosper, either this or that, or whether they both shall be taken, or shall be alike good. Now, truly the light is sweet and pleasant thing it is for the eyes to behold the sun. And if a man live many years and rejoice in them all, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for there shall be many, that all cometh is vanity. Now, ladies and gentlemen, here we go. Verse 5 of Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Also, when thou shalt be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is death the final absolute end of man? Well, let's see. Verse 1 of chapter 14, Job. Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And doest thou open thine eyes unto such a one and bringest me into judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Seeing that his days are determined and the number of his months are with thee, and thou hast appointed his boundaries that he cannot pass. Turn from him that he may rest till he shall accomplish as a hireling his day. For there is hope of a tree, if it be cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease. Therefore the root thereof will wax old in the earth, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. And yet through the sense of water, it will again bud and bring forth boughs like a plant. But man, here's the key now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the flesh, man. Keep this in mind. But man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost. And where is he? As the waters fail from the sea, and the flood decayeth and drieth up, so man lieth down and riseth not, till the heavens be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. Now, we're talking about man, the verse, chapter 12 here, that the flesh man, you see, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says that flesh and blood shall not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So then, if it's not a flesh and bone body of flesh, that body that you presently live in now, you see, it's got to be changed. And if you're alive when he comes back, it will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, so that man lieth down until he be no more. They shall not awake nor be raised out of their sleep. You see, that flesh man, after it lays down, will no longer raise again. That flesh body is decayed, and back to the dust it goes. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret until your wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. Verse 14, here's the key. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is truth that we need to look at in the Scriptures. Now, we're going to quickly, as we're going to have to hurry along here, because we're limited in our time approach here, in Job chapter 19, let me just hit the highlights of this message. If you'd like to have this message in its entirety on a VHS, a video, or a cassette tape, just simply write Brother Buddy here at Post Office Box 2284 for the rest of the story, the in-depth teaching of this message. I don't believe you will ever feel the same way about rebirth as you would until you listen to these tapes and get the information that the Bible holds. You see, the Satan wants you to think that death is absolute, and that after that, that there is nothing else left. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not true. Now, verse 19, all my inward friends abhorreth me, and they whom I loved are turned against me. My bone cleaves to my skin and to my flesh, and I am escaped with the skin of my teeth. Verse 25, here is Job's testimony. Let it be yours tonight, ladies and gentlemen. If you've got an eternal hope in a Savior, then you can truly say this, for I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, this is an astounding statement. Job, reportedly, is the oldest book in the Bible, that it was written long before the book of Genesis. If that's true, then here is a man with a testimony that would be likened unto Enoch's testimony, who was translated, it did not see death. And we know that these types have come back in other flesh bodies, as we shall prove in the latter half of the show here tonight. Praise Yahweh. Now, notice again, let me read it again for emphasis. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon the earth. Now, when was that? That was 2,000 years ago. Job, prophesying thousands of years before the advent, said, I know that I've got a Redeemer, and that he will live at the latter day upon the earth. Now, here is the astounding verse that Job is acknowledged to make here. And though after, now this is after, my skin worms destroy this body. Now, he says, let's put the emphasis on this body, meaning I believe that he had hopes of living in other bodies in his flesh. Let me read here. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. It's a statement. It's not a question. Though the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and not my eyes, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. though the reins of my heart be consumed within me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very, very interesting passage of Scripture. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. I know that my Redeemer liveth. Now, this is a type of testimony that Job was making, and it is astounding. It flies in the face of all the opposition of those that believe in birth and rebirth. You see, the Christian faith is that we only live one time. Now, we're going to take issue with that, because we believe that there is many lifetimes to accredit these spirit bodies, that they may learn obedience, as thus saith Yahweh. The Bible said they shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, we're in the 38th chapter of the book of Job, and we're going quickly down to verse 21. Knowest thou it, because thou wast then born? Question. Or because the number of thy days is great? Thou knowest. Well, ladies and gentlemen, is your days numbered? Are the times of your departure set? Is there a time to be born and a time to die according to Ecclesiastes? Oh, yes, there is. Yes, if there's a time to be born and a time to die, then why is it that your days being numbered before you came here, that Yahweh has set the boundaries of your life, and the very day that your boundary days are up. Remember what he said unto Hezekiah. Isaiah brought the message. The message was not good news to Hezekiah, who had just built a kingdom and was ready to live and enjoy the things of the kingdom. But for disobedience to Yahweh, he showed the temple and the inner king's treasures to the enemy, praise Yahweh, then Yahweh demanded his life and sent Isaiah to give him the message. Set your house in order, for you are to die. Now, here's what happened. The Bible says that Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept, and Yahweh extended his life for 15 years. Now, question, was he to die before his time? That's possible. The Bible will indicate that you can add to your days or take from. So within the set number of days, which is within the framework of the mind of Yahweh, if you are a given person, now the Bible said it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. If you're always in the negative realm, if you're always taking and not giving, then your days will be short. If you're always speaking evil of your brother, the Bible said that he that would like to see long days, let him refrain his mouth from speaking evil and eschewing evil and speaking no guile. Praise Yahweh. So there is some set laws in the Scripture. Now, let us give you the Scripture that we've been teaching on in our first week on Truth Radio. And we're delighted to be here tonight among you, live and direct on Truth Radio. Now, we're going to Psalms 132, and we're going to verse 11. Yahweh hath sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Now, here is a promise that the Messiah, Job knew him. He said, I know that my Redeemer liveth and will stand, the Redeemer, Yahweh Shua, in a flesh body when he came in a flesh as a flesh man. David was prophesying through the Holy Ghost that this man, this Redeemer of Job, thousands of years prior to the actual happening, that he was living and would stand upon the earth in the latter day. Well, of course, when we come down to the second half of the show, we're really going to get it pumping here on the subject, reincarnation. So you stay tuned. This is Pastor Buddy. You're listening to The Shepherd's Call. We'll be back in a couple of minutes. And the subject tonight is the very controversial subject, reincarnation, or do we live again after death? Now, we're talking about the appointed times and seasons for us to come in and go out of this earth realm. We're going to go to Jeremiah to begin our second half of the show, and we're going to really have to speed it up here to get in any semblance of a foundation here for you to build on. If you'd like more truth about this, you're just going to have to simply call us here at Shepherd's Call, praise Yahweh. And at the end of the show, Eric will be up to tell you a little bit about how to contact us again, praise Yahweh. The name Jeremiah means whom Yahweh hath appointed. Jeremiah in English, was appointed a prophet before his birth. Now, we're going to read that in 1 and 5. Here we go. And the word, verse 4, then the word of Yahweh came unto me, this is Jeremiah doing a talking, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you and I ordained you to be a prophet unto the nations. Now, my question is this. If life begins at birth or conception, and then we are have a set number of days, and we walk around here as just conducting earthly business, let's say, then that takes Yahweh out of the picture. I believe that all the spirits that are now incarnated into the earth have been made perhaps millions without any beginning. If you're a spirit being, I believe that. And if you're a lesser being, you might have had a beginning, praise Yahweh. But with Yahweh, we have no beginning, and we have no end. Now, we're going over to, quickly, to Luke. Let's go over to Luke chapter 16, and we're going to read verse 31 in Luke 16, 31. We're going to have to really kick it up here, and so hang with us if you can. 16, 31, praise Yahweh. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the astonishing fact is that our Messiah did eat and drink. This is in the 10th chapter of the book of Acts, in the 43rd verse. They did eat and drink with him after that he rose from the dead. Now, we're going to John chapter 9 for another reference scripture about possibly life before death or death after life. And is it possible that we could be paying for some of our sins from a past life? Now remember, be not deceived, for God, Yahweh, Elohim, is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's what Yahweh's law says. Now, if you inflict pain or harm upon a fellow subject, then it's possible that you might have to, in a future life, if you take a hand, you might have to give one in a future life. If you take an eye, you may have to give one in a future life. Now, if you ever thought about the wisdom of that, that you might have to be responsible instead of having a God that you can run up and say, well, just forgive me, and then we turn around and do worse things. Folks, that don't teach us nothing. We've got to have experience and to learn and be still and know that he's our creator and that we have to give an account to him for even ever idle word that we speak. Now, we're in the 9th chapter of John, verse 1. And as the Messiah passed by, he saw a man that was blind from his birth. Now, notice verse 2, showing you that the disciples believed that this man possibly sinned in a former life. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man? Now, remember, he's born blind. Now, if the man sinned, how could he have sinned before he was born blind? Now, here's the response. Verse 3. The Messiah answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but the works of God should be manifest in him. So in this particular case, neither the man sinned in a previous life, that's the question here in verse 2, that he would have possibly had to sin in a former lifetime. That's the implication that verse 2 is given. And the Messiah didn't scold them and say, oh, your heir, how could he have sinned before he's born? He didn't come in yet. But they knew the Israelites know about eternal salvation. They also know about the eternal spirit. They also know that flesh is expendable, but the spirit's eternal, and that you could use possibly many flesh vehicles to arrive at your destination of where you're at at this progression upon the earth. Now, if you haven't learned your lesson, and that's what you're here for, did you know the Bible says that this is a schoolyard? That we're here to go to school and to learn, and we're not to forget what manner of man that we have learned to be. Now, we're going to go, as we enter into some more scriptures here, we're going back now to Matthew chapter 17. This is a very, very remarkable. We're going to believe that it proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that our Messiah believed in rebirth. Now, and after 6 days, we're starting in verse 1, the Messiah, called Jesus in the King James, taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a mountain, high mountain apart. And he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And this is a remarkable thing in the third verse, ladies and gentlemen. Now, Moses had been dead at the time of Christ 1,500 years. Elijah had been dead approximately 1,000. So here we are with a 1,500-year-old being and a 1,000-year-old being in these appearances before the Father. And behold, there appeared unto him Moses and Elijah talking with him. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we know that Moses died up on the mountain. Nobody knew where his grave was at. But here's the Messiah. He's on this particular mountain up in Galilee, and he's raising these two men, and here they are talking with him in another dimension. Remember now, the Messiah's transfigured. He's in another dimension. And here's Moses in a dimension. So he's still living, ladies and gentlemen. Moses is still living. And so is Elijah. Now, is it possible that they could return and serve a useful purpose in other flesh bodies being called by some other name? Is it possible? Well, we'll see here just in a moment. And then answered Peter and said unto the Messiah, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make there three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And while he yet spake these things, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice out of the cloud said, This is my beloved Son. And most people say, of whom? But listen to the terminology here. This is my beloved Son, in whom? Circle the word in whom? Now, this is the voice that spake out of the cloud. Now, who was in the cloud? The Messiah. Where did the voice come from? Out of the cloud. Well, where was the voice at? Inside the Messiah. So, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Then, who was that doing the speaking? This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Now, we're going to drop down for saving time's sake, and we're going to jump into verse 9. And as they came down from the mountain, this is active experience, the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, charged them, saying, Tell no man the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. Oh, mercy. Hallelujah. Praise Yahweh. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Now, they were quoting from the book of Malachi, chapter 4, verse 4 and 5, where that he would send the prophet Elijah, onto the earth before the great and noble day of Yahweh come. So then, the disciples, believing in that prophecy, said, Why do the scribes say that Elijah must first come? Now, verse 11. And the Messiah, Yahweh Shua, said unto them, Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. Now, listen to that. Shall first come. Elijah is going to return. Now, remember in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, when the Spirit parted asunder Elijah and Elisha, the chariots, this craft that came down out of the sky, picked up Elijah and translated him into another dimension. And there Elijah, the second man that didn't see death, translated out of this earth realm as a flesh and blood being and moved into another dimension. Now, is it possible, ladies and gentlemen, for these things to still be going on? For some to be translated without death? That happens regularly, praise Yahweh. Maybe beyond your comprehension, but it does. The Messiah said, Elijah shall truly come and restore all things. Verse 12, here's the astounding thing. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, and they knew him not. Oh, my. But they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Verse 13. Verse 12 says that Elijah is come already. Now, they were baffled. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, John was the incarnation of Elijah's spirit. The same spirit that walked in Elijah came back and took up possession in the flesh body of John. You say, buddy, I just don't understand that. That's just a little bit too far out for me. Well, ladies and gentlemen, get a hold on this. Let's go back to the 12th verse. But I say unto you that Elijah is come already, fulfilling the prophecies of Malachi chapter 4. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. Now, ladies and gentlemen, let's review what we have given you here as the facts state. Jeremiah was named before he ever came into his mother's womb by Yahweh, because Yahweh knew him before he ever put him in the womb. Now, did Jeremiah pre-exist? Have you pre-existed somewhere with the Creator before you came a blood and flesh creature from the creation of the beginning? Have you been here before? Have you lived many lives prior, maybe not only on this planet, but other evolving planets? You see, the Bible don't only speak of a world, it speaks of worlds and worlds to come. Notice this, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to possess the kingdom. We are soldiers for the common cause, that we are to put this planet in planetary order and to bring in the kingdom of Yahweh upon this earth. That's our mission. Now, notice this. We're in the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew and verse 8. Wherefore, if your hand or your foot offend you, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halted or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. What do you mean by this? That the Bible says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Of course, a hand for a hand and a leg for a leg. If you take something that don't belong to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is very, very, very important that you cannot escape. You say, well, I got down and I got forgiveness of that. Well, that's probably true. But forgiveness is like in the teaching aspect of it. Yahweh would expect you to give an eye if you took one, and that's the law. And if thy hand, or if thine eye, verse 9, offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for you to enter into life without or with one eye only, rather than having two eyes to be cast into the hell fire. Now, let me tell you something. If we get into the truth of reality, here we have John, we have Job, we have Elijah, we have Christ as examples of living after death. In other words, the physical body dies, but the spirit man goeth on into living. Now, we quoted this scripture for you, but for the sake of giving it to you and letting you hear what it says, let's go to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. We're going to the 7th chapter of the book of Acts. And we're going to start at verse 56. And Stephen, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked steadfast up into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and the Messiah standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. And they cried with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Verse 59, here it is. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, and saying, Yahweh, Jesus in the King James, receive my spirit. Now remember what it says in Ecclesiastes? The flesh man goes back to the dust, and the spirit goes back to God who give it. Now, can this spirit be recycled once again? Can Stephen come back after they stoned him to death and beat his head in and kill that flesh body? Could the spirit of Stephen, after it's experienced this horrible death, could it be recycled and put in another body and used by the Heavenly Father and take advantage of his knowledge of being here before? Some of the characteristics of your dream state, ladies and gentlemen. Have you ever been in a place that seemed familiar? Have you ever seen a face that you might have thought that you had seen before? These familiar places and familiar faces could not be an accident. It could be that you have met them along the way, because we tend to incarnate in groups to work out karmas of past life association. Now, we'll give you that because we know that Job said, I will stand at the last day upon the earth, and in my flesh I will see the Redeemer. Now, is it possible that Job could have possibly been standing with the Messiah 2,000 years or 3,500 years later, or 4,000, or whatever the time between Job and Christ transpired? Is it possible that Job could have reincarnated into another flesh body and stood shoulder to shoulder and have possibly been one of the disciples or one of those that stood by the wayside, possibly even Lazarus, whom Yahweh rose from the dead? And the Bible says that his body, being dead 4 days, was stinking. And yet Yahweh raised him up from the dead by speaking his name and unwrapping the cloth, the burial cloth, and he was received alive again unto his friends. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is astounding. Now, let's look at the scriptures in reality. Do we live after death? My verdict is, yes, we can't die. This is an astounding scripture. He that believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Now, which man was he talking about? Obviously, he was talking about the spirit man. Well, what's the spirit man? Well, let's get the facts here. The Bible says that there's an inward man and there is an outward man. The outward man goeth back to the dust, and the inward man goeth back to Yahweh, who presented him to this world. You see, I'm not my own keeper, ladies and gentlemen. I came in here to do a mission. I was assigned a mission, and I know quite well what it was. It was to preach the gospel. Paul said he was separated from his mother's womb to preach the gospel. Jeremiah said he was separated from his mother's womb to preach the gospel. Now, you may not be a preacher, but you were separated from your mother's womb, and you were also known by the Heavenly Father to perform that which is required of you. And here it is. We're going to finalize it right here in the 12th chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes one more time as we go back to the scriptures. And let us read. We're starting at 12:13, the book of Ecclesiastes. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Why? Verse 14. For God, Yahweh, shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Therefore, be sure that your sins find you out. Ladies and gentlemen, live a good, clean, holy, sanctified life. Preach the gospel. Be a living witness. Forsake house, land, wife, children, and even your own life, and gain an eternal home in the heavens, worthy of the usage of the Father. Wouldn't it be an honor for Yahweh to pull your spirit out at death, out of your physical body. Let your old body that's diseased, probably broken and rotten down, and let you go back to the dust. And yet that inward being, that eternal inward man that now stands before the Father and hear him say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over enemy, over all." Praise Yahweh. Now, the enemy is death, and the last enemy to be defeated is the conquering of the spirit. Praise Yahweh. So the spirit conquers death, and O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is your victory? Ladies and gentlemen, you listen to the pastor's call. This is Brother Buddy. If you'd like to comment tonight, this simply, area code 423-626-2172.